In 1951, shortly after the horrors of World War II, and in a time of immense technological change, the Rabbi Abraham Joshua Heschel published a slim volume called The Sabbath. In it, he described Judaism as a religion aiming at the sanctification of time, and talked about the Sabbath as an architecture of time. In the first chapter of this book, Heschel writes that the meaning of the Sabbath is to celebrate time rather than space. 6 days a week, he says, we live under the tyranny of things of space. On the Sabbath, we try to become attuned to holiness in time. It is a day on which we are called upon to share in what is eternal in time, to turn from the results of creation to the mystery of creation, from the world of creation to the creation of the world. That's Heschel, 1951. And in our two texts for today, from the Gospel according to Luke, what initially struck me was not so much what is happening, but when it is happening. The drama of these stories about Jesus unfold from within the sanctified architecture, from within the holy time of the Sabbath, the day of rest, Friday sundown to Saturday sundown. Now, as far as I know, none of you all here practice Sabbath like Jesus did, or as faithful Jews still do, refraining from work and kindling fires and following the guidelines of Torah, Jewish law. Anyone, secret Sabbath practitioner? No one. Okay. So in these gospel stories, we are tossed right into the middle of the fray of an ongoing debate, one that still is alive and active. Asked to wrestle with, what does faithful, lawful Sabbath remembrance and practice look like? And even for us, all of us as non-Jews, as Gentiles grafted into God's story through Jesus, this debate is illuminating because we are confronted with the question, how do we honor the holiness of time? How do we honor the holiness of time? Because so often in our culture that we move and live and swim in, we try to make time count by doing as much as is humanly possible. We mark human worth by productivity, by output. And the Sabbath is radical to us because it's a day to remember that the very origin of the world and the origin of all of us is in God's creation, who after 6 days of creative output, of making this world and all the creatures in it, God chooses to rest and to delight in the goodness of what God has made. In a culture of subjugation and economic hierarchy, where some folks' work is compensated well, and where other folks are ground down trying to make a living, still not able to support their families, the Sabbath comes as radical news. Because in the Sabbath, we remember that rest is a gift of God, a God who liberates God's people from slavery in Egypt and anywhere they're still bound, saving them from subjugation of never-ending labor so that the whole community can enjoy together the gift of God's life. The Sabbath within Jewish practice, then, isn't an onerous obligation, but it's a gift. It's a gift of time to delight in the goodness and the salvation of God. It's a joy to practice Sabbath because it's a time to experiment and to experience living what it is that's God's dream for the world. As Rabbi Heschel put it, unless one learns how to relish the taste of the Sabbath while still in this world, one will be unable to enjoy the taste of eternity in the world to come. The Sabbath tastes delightfully good. And so, too, does it taste good to Jesus' disciples who are walking with him from village to village, these men and women who have left their homes and their livelihoods and their families. And on one Sabbath day, it tasted like earthy grains of wheat and barley that they plucked off the stalk and rubbed in their hands and popped in their mouths to chew on the go. They ate, we might imagine, because they were hungry. But the Pharisees, Jesus' fellow interpreters of the Torah, seized upon this walk-by threshing as an unlawful act on the Sabbath. Our text doesn't say if Jesus was eating these grains too, snacking on these kernels, but Jesus responds defensively, taking the side of his disciples, and he references this story of King David, when David and some of his friends chose to eat consecrated bread in a time of hunger and need, bread that really priests alone should have eaten. Jesus doesn't dismiss the importance or the beauty of Sabbath practice, but he points to a different principle, feeding the hungry to meet a real and pressing human need as requiring flexibility with the prescriptions of the law. He then also calls himself something interesting. He calls himself the Son of Man and the Lord of the Sabbath, saying that in his very person, he's embodying the goodness and the salvation that Sabbath points to in the first place. In the second Sabbath story, Jesus has gathered with other Jews in the synagogue, and some of the other leaders there were looking to trip Jesus up. They knew he had a reputation for healing because of what he'd done in other places. And also in this gathering is a man with a withered or a paralyzed hand, somehow disfigured. Jesus picks up on the vibe of the room, sensing the malicious intent of some. And so he brings to the surface this conflict that's present in the space and invites the man to come up and stand next to him for all to see, making him visible. And then he asks a question to the whole of the synagogue. I ask you all, is it lawful to do good or to do harm on the Sabbath? To save life or to destroy it? And Jesus prolongs the tension by letting his question linger. He looks around at everyone there. And then he tells the man, stretch out your hand. The man stretches out his hand, and it was restored. And Jesus' point is made. To say he had done work on the Sabbath would be foolish. All Jesus did was talk. He invited a man to stand, to be seen, to stretch out his hand. But maybe even more powerful was what Jesus didn't do. What he rested from. He didn't touch the man. He didn't fill the silence with unnecessary words. He made an invitation. He asked a question. And he let that question and he let the miracle of that restored hand do the talking. On that Sabbath, Jesus made clear that at the heart of this day of rest is the recognition of God's goodness and God's saving life that's extended to us. Now, most of the time, resting, refraining, ceasing to do work on the Sabbath helps the community delight in the gift of God's goodness that might otherwise be missed in the frenzy of constant and anxious activity. But as Jesus demonstrates, when there's a need right in front of us, we honor the holiness of time by doing good right now, right here. When there's a person right in front of us, we make time holy by extending good to them right here, right now. Jesus then shifts the question of what is permissible to do or to not do in different contexts to the even more pressing question, what will I do? What will we do with our time? How will I honor the holiness of time right now? Jesus used the time of his life again and again to extend God's healing and hope to everyone who crossed his path. He faithfully practiced the Sabbath as a Jew, resting and delighting in God's healing and hope. And right after the story we just heard, he retreats to the mountains for his own Sabbath. But he also embodied that he was the Lord of the Sabbath, who extends God's love to those in need, whether that was his hungry disciples passing through the fields, or a man who could finally stretch out and wriggle his fingers in joy. We are not called to be Jesus, but we are called to follow after Jesus, who models for us how to honor the holiness of time. For many of us, we need divine courage to practice rest, to cultivate stillness amidst our culture of constant on-the-go busyness. For some of us, we might need a nudging type of courage to practice everyday acts of compassion, to cultivate life right in front of us, because there is always enough time to do good. Mercy is something that's always in season. It's always a good day to extend compassion to those we meet. So may all of us receive from God resurrection courage, the courage of Christ who bids us to stand, to join him, trusting that he has broken the hold of death, restoring all creation to life. And in all these days of our lives, in all this precious, glorious time that God has gifted us, may we rest in, rejoice in, delight in, and find courage in Christ, Lord of the Sabbath, healer of us all. Amen.